It's not just music, it's your way of life. How you live, live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Right, it is that time of the day where we ask a pastor, and today we have the blessing and the honor and the privilege of having Pastor Caleb join us for today. Pastor Caleb is our Ask a Pastor for the week. He'll be answering your questions, and for all of those of you who have a question or questions, please send your questions through, and my producer will find you a pastor who will answer your question as she has done today. My producer has found us a pastor, and Pastor Caleb is our pastor for today. Pastor Caleb, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thank you. How are you this afternoon?
Very well. Thank you very much, Pastor. Our question for today is, how should pastors address the topic of interfaith marriages?
You can just repeat the question. We had some challenge with the transmission.
Not a problem. Our question for today, Pastor, is how should pastors address the topic of interfaith marriages?
All right. Thank you very much. We are happy that the listeners are here, and thank you for having me on the platform. First and foremost, one thing that we need to understand is that the question as to how pastors should address the topic of interfaith marriages, we should know that there are actually two things involved. And those two things that we are talking about, number one, we are talking about faith, and number two, we are talking about doctrine. So the entire question borders on these two particular things that we ought to know, doctrine and faith. Now, the answer that we can give is that people, or rather members, should be advised to marry in their particular faith, because when we talk of doctrine, it would be a very challenging thing when people go in the sacredness of marriage not bearing the aspect of doctrine and faith. Every person has got what they believe in, and every person knows what they want to do. And we are making a mistake if people should go into marriage because they want to forget the importance of doctrine and faith. So the answer really that we can give to people is that let us normalize to marry from our specific faith. If somebody is Adventist, let them marry from an Adventist circle. If somebody belongs to another congregation, let them marry from that congregation. Then they would be able to worship God, and they would be able to actually keep their faith in line and straight. So the answer is very clear and plain. Let us stick to our specific faith in order for us to enjoy our marriages.
I'm curious about that, because just now I've just read a story about Ruth. Ruth is one of those examples of a woman who is an idolater from the country of Moab. And the Moabites, we know, they worshipped Chemosh, an idol whose practices were having little girls as as offerings. They were offered, they would offer little virgin girls to Chemosh. And this girl, Ruth, was a Moabitess belonging to that kind of a religion. But Naomi's sons, Kilion and Orpah, is it Kilion and Melon? They took these Moabitess girls and married them. God did not stop them. We have Esther, whose book is named after her Babylonian name Esther, Hadassah, who married a Babylonian king, went into a beauty contest to win the affections through carnal knowledge of an idolater, a Babylonian. We have Jacob, who is the patriarch of the 12 tribes of Israel, who married two women who were idolaters, Rachel and Leah. One of them was a thief and a liar. Rachel stole from her father, stole an idol from her father. And these two women brought in other idolaters as wives who were not believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God never stopped that. We're seeing these interfaith marriages in Scripture, and God does not appear to be objecting to them. Why are pastors today objecting to these interfaith marriages, and yet God never seemed to have a problem with it? One another example which just popped into my mind right now is Joseph. Joseph married Asenati. Asenath is an Egyptian woman, a daughter of a priest of a foreign god. And he married her and had two sons by her. God didn't object to it. Quite frankly, they are mentioned alongside the other 12 tribes of Israel. So the question is, if all these biblical men, these God-fearing men, Boaz taking this Ruth girl, God-fearing men take these non-Yahwist women, why are pastors today objecting to it if God never objected to it in the past, in Bible times?
Okay, that's a very deep explanation and a very good question. And maybe before I get to answer that question, I am reminded of something, my Lord. I'm reminded of a friend of mine. He's a very good friend of mine. And he married somebody who is not of his faith. Things were going on well. When they got married, things were okay. And after they got married, she actually got converted, became one of their faith and everything, started going to church together. But after they had 2-3 kids, on a Sabbath morning, when he's preparing going for church, the wife of his goes out and begins to wash on a Sabbath. So she's washing, and he comes out and says, but we are supposed to go and worship today. Then this woman says, I am not used to the kind of faith that you have and the worship. I have always just been pretending. It's not like I enjoyed everything. So what am I trying to say? What we are trying to say is the examples that you have mentioned, there is an implication that came after what they did. So the actions that were taken, they were not just actions that had no impacts and implications at the end of it all. So what we are saying is we are not condemning people to go and marry from other tribes, other denominations, and other faith, and what we may call them. But what we are saying is, in order for us to keep our faith and in order for us to keep our religion and our doctrine in intact and to avoid certain implications that may come as a result of the interfaith marriages, we would rather just stick to the people that know the doctrine and keep the faith and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to use the verse, do not be equally yoked with unbelievers, because that one is not in the context of marriage. But let me borrow that one and just say, if we are to just have our faith shielded and kept, let us just be in line with what we believe and bring people on board that we believe in. Now, look at one of the examples that you gave. When we talk about those young virgins that were given as offerings and all that, it's an action that was done, and perhaps, since we are also dealing of culture, which comes in, we are not talking about the same page where our patriarchs had been. Culture is one thing that is dynamic. It keeps on changing. And in our cultures, when we look at the faith and the doctrine, if we are to just protect what we believe in, then there is need for us to just get into the faith and also marry from where we believe people are going to keep the testimony of Jesus Christ.
However are we going to know that a person is going to keep to the faith, Pastor? I ask this question because the woman that Adam had for his wife was not only a woman that shared his DNA because God put him to sleep and took his DNA to make her. This is a woman that came from God. God made her. But still, she was a devil worshiper. Still, this woman decided to ignore God's will and submit herself to the will of the devil, eating of the tree of which God said she must not eat. Now, this is a woman who came from God's hands. God decided, out of all the women I could make, I won't make a Ruth, I won't make an Elizabeth, I won't make a Rachel, I won't make a Mary. I will make an Eve, for Eve is the best example of a first woman, the first wife. And still, she ended up being a devil worshiper. So however are we going to know, Pastor, that the women that we get from God will not turn into devil worshippers?
So one thing, I love the way your questions are coming. It's very important that our listeners get to dive through what the conversation that's there, because these are some of the challenges that most of the people are facing in these marriages and all. But one thing we should know is that whoever that God was going to create, whoever that God was going to create for this man, Adam, there was one thing that God was not going to get from her, and that is free will. Okay? So the free will that God gave to Eve is the free will that God gives to all of us and all the women. So in order for us to get a woman that will help us to shield our faith, that will help us to keep our faith and the doctrine, we ought to pray. Prayer is the key. Prayer is important. We pray for our partners, we pray for these women, and also make it known to say whatsoever decisions that they make, it is out of free will. God does not remove that from them. Same applies to him. Eve has been given the free will to choose. So whatever that she chose was not the will of God that she should choose, but God had given her a free will. The only important thing that we should do as men and as women is to pray for the people that we are involved with, because we face different challenges, we face different situations, and we go through daily challenges and daily calamities. So if we are to pray for one another, if we are to petition and ask God to provide us in the choices that we make, ask God to provide us in the choice of associate, in the choice of places we go to, we are going to be at par with the desires of God in our lives, because his desire is for his children to live a happy marriage, a marriage that will serve God together, and a marriage that will lead to testify of God's goodness.
I accept that, Mfundis, and I'm not taking anything away from that. The point I was making is if you're saying these foreign faith women are going to turn your heart away from God, I was suggesting even the one that was from God did turn Adam's heart away from God. What I'm suggesting is the very same wife that God made perfect, and in the Bible says, who was the helpmeet just right for Adam, ended up turning Adam's heart away from God. So the function of turning a man's heart away from God is not a function of an unbeliever or an ungodly wife. Even the Eve that was godly ended up turning Adam's heart away from God. So it doesn't matter, I'm suggesting, Fundis, and I want you to correct me here. It doesn't matter, as it appears with Adam and Eve, that whether the woman comes from God or does not come from God, whether she believes in God or whether she does not believe in your God, whether she is really a good woman or not. If she is going to turn your heart away from God, she will, regardless of whether you are in the same faith, interfaith or not. How do you respond to that, Pastor?
Well, it's quite debatable when we talk about Eve as an example to notify our listeners and everyone listening to say this is the measurement of how a woman can still turn somebody away from God. But the issue that is there is, like I mentioned in my preamble, we are talking about faith and doctrine. So when we look at faith and doctrine, it's not really about somebody turning me from God, but does this person believe in what I believe in? What does the Sabbath mean to this person? What does the commandments mean to this person? How does she receive it? And how do I know that this person is going to actually have the same faith that I should have? By the way, in as much as we can say salvation is personal, but I am responsible with the salvation of my home because I am the priest of that home. So what we are trying to say is not necessarily somebody turning us away from God, but is this person going to believe in what I believe in? Are they going to accept what I have accepted? Have they really understood what it is when it comes to faith? What is faith? How is this person going to raise our children? Because it is beyond me and the person that I am involved with. It is beyond me and the woman that comes in. There is an extended family. There are children that are coming in. And all of us should be candidates of heaven. But if at all somebody does not share into the faith that I share in, how is it possible that this person is going to raise this family and actually make a godly family out of it? So it's not just the matter of taking the man away from God, but it is what they believe in. How is she taking our doctrine? Does she know about the three angels message? And they are actually, it's actually vice versa. Even other denominations, there are things that they believe in. And if somebody from another denomination goes to that denomination, there is that challenge that comes in, and not necessarily bringing somebody away from his God, but actually, how is their personal salvation? How does it involve the family and everyone that comes in the circle? So I hear you very well. I understand you very well. But my point and bone of contention is that the faith that somebody holds should be the faith that the other person shares in order for us to grow together. It's not about one person. We want to grow together and we want to get saved together as a family.
My last question then, Mfundo, is we have in the New Testament a company of believers wherein there is a couple that is mentioned which followed the apostles. They were taught and knew the truth from the hands and the teachings of Peter. But when time came for them to come, both of them, Mfundisi, they both agreed to betray their faith. They decided they're going to lie. And I'm referring here to Ananias and Sapphira. Again, I want to suggest to you, Mfundisi, the fact that people know, now this is both people from the very same faith, but still they decided to both together betray their faith. What I'm suggesting to you, Mfundisi, is it not true that betraying your faith is not a function of having an interfaith marriage? It's a function of a person who is not convicted of their own faith. We see this with Ananias and Sapphira, both of them. They both agreed to do what is wrong before God. We have the father of faith, the father of faith. Abraham, the father, not the descendants of the father of faith, deciding that they're going to ignore the will and the way of Yahweh and they're going to find their own Egyptian way.
They actually want to help God do whatever that they want to do and not wait upon God.
Exactly. So what I'm suggesting, Funis, is those doctrines, when people betray those doctrines, is it not true that they don't betray doctrines because we're in an interfaith marriage? People betray their doctrines and their faith because they are not convicted yet. So why should we blame interfaith marriages when people have gone wrong in terms of their faith and doctrines, and yet people in their doctrines, in their faith, marrying in together, both Seventh-day Adventists, Abraham and Sarah, they decided they are going to find their own way against the ways of Yahweh. So why do we blame it on interfaith marriages, Mfundisi?
Well, we don't really have to blame it on interfaith marriage, because the example that is given is about two people actually in the same faith.
Yes.
So now there is a difference when people decide to denounce their faith when they are from the same faith and an interfaith marriage. Now, it's a very good example. And one thing that we can't take away from Scripture is that everything that Scripture brings across and everything that Scripture tells us it's something that we learn from and is something that helps us to grow in our day-to-day life.
Right.
So there are mistakes that people have made, and those mistakes were made for a purpose. Those mistakes were made so that these other people that are coming should learn from those mistakes. It will be unwise of us to be in the same faith and condemn interfaith marriages and only to go and do that which people out there have been condemned for doing. So one thing, I loved your point. If people are converted and if people know what they mean and if people actually know Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, I think it wouldn't be a problem for people to be in the same faith and get married and still maintain the faith in Jesus Christ. It's only a problem if we are not convicted and go into a marriage with a fellow believer and denounce our faith, because then we would be hypocrites to condemn interfaith marriages, yet we are doing things that we have condemned. So it takes a Christian who is converted, a Christian who knows really what they stand for and what they need. And by the way, I still maintain my position. If at all we want to serve our God very well, I think there is need for us to marry somebody who knows what we believe in. Interfaith marriages, I don't know. I had a similar question. Somebody asked me and said, Pastor, what if this person is converted, then we marry? So we are saying it is the thought at the back of the mind. Is it that we want these people to come and help us, even as we defend our faith, even as we soldier on in our Christian land? Or just it is just marriage that is at the back of our mind. So it is actually the thought behind it that counts the most.
Okay.
And if we are to turn interfaith marriages, we will have more harm than good in our different kinds of religion.
Very interesting stuff, Pastor Caleb. Thank you very much for your time. Looking forward to your answer for tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further. Until tomorrow, Pastor.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. And thank you, listeners. Have a lovely day as well.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.